Now we're holding on mem aleph omud beis by the two dots, seven lines from the end of the narrow lines. We learned yesterday, we were talking about the case where a shur kills a person and the various dinim that come into play with that. One of them was the Mishnah said that the owner of the shur has to pay koifer, has to pay a monetary ransom to the yoshim of the victim, and we had a machlokes whether that's the dmei mazik or dmei nizik, the value of the mazik himself, as like it's meant to be a kapara for himself because he should have been chayim misim de shemayim, so instead he has to ransom himself, or is it dmei nizik, the value of the nizik like any other nizik, and we talked about that. So we also mentioned in that connection, you have the pasuk uvala shor noki, where we said that it can mean that the owner is noki, he's cleaned out of having any hana from the shur. Once the shur has been given skila, then it's also b'hana. And in fact, even after Gmar Din, he said if he would have shecht it, then it would be also to eat. So on the other hand, though, we said that there are other Tanoim who use the words Bala Shonoki to teach us other drushas that we're going to discuss now. And according to them, we say that they learn, so ultimately we said the fact that you can't eat the meat, you learn from it says, Vala Yo'ocholos Bisara, and it means you can't have Hanah from it either. So either you use the word S, so according to some Tanoim, you use the word S to teach that you can't have Hanah from the skin either. According to other Tanoim who don't douse in the word S, like we learned about yesterday, Shimon Hamsuni or Nehemiah Hamsuni, who used to douse in S and then stopped doing that, then according to them, you can't learn the skin from that, you have to learn it from Uvala Shonoki. So now the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Uvala Shonoki, Rabbi Yezer Oimen Noki Mechatzi Koifer. It means that the owner is going to be clean. It means that the words of Vala Shonoki are mentioned in connection with when the animal is a tam. The expression of the pasuk is that an ox gores and kills a person. Sokol yishokol asher, the ox is given skila v'lo yachos psori, you can't eat the meat. Uvala Shonoki, and the owner of the shur is clean. So before, again, we were saying that clean means that he's cleaned out, as in he can't have hana from any of it, including the skin. Now we're saying Rabbi Eliezer is using the words of Allah Shonoki for a different drasha, Rabbi Eliezer ima noki mechatzi koifer. It means that he's clean from having to pay half koifer if the animal's a tam. We don't say, in other words, Rashi explains, the same way as with the actual nezek, the owner was paying chatzi nezek if the animal was a tam, and nezek shalom if it was a muad, so you would think the same thing applies to koifer. Comes Rabbi Eliezer and tells us it's not so. So Rabbi Akiva asks him, why do you need a pasuk to tell us that? After all, whatever you're going to pay for a tam is going to be paid migufoy, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta. Well, then, in this case, if the shur is getting skila, you can't pay migufoy. So in effect, you could say, Havyeula based in v'yishalamach. So therefore, in effect, we can say, look, bring the shur to Beis Din, and then we'll pay you. If we're saying it's also b'hana, then we're not going to be able to do that. So why do we even need a pasuk to tell us that you don't pay half a koifer? Where would you be getting that half a koifer from if the animal's getting skila anyway? Now, Tosfos does point out, we've had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We learned over the last few days, who said sad tamus from koma emedis. We're going to learn it again at the end of the parak, where he says that a muad is really a tam plus, meaning whatever applied to the tam still continues to apply to the muad, just that then you also have additional things on top of that for muad. So that being the case, then when it comes to a muad, also you would ask, how can you pay koifer if half of it is coming migufoy, according to Rabbi Yehuda's way of looking at it? So Tosfos says, no. I mean, come on. When you have the Torah mentions by a muad, you pay koifer. So then that implies that the whole concept of paying koifer, according to Rabbi Akiva, and this is the halacha, only comes by virtue of it being muad. Therefore, the whole thing comes migufoy, and even Rabbi Yehuda's sab tamus b'mkoymei medis is not going to affect that. Here we're talking about that the animal is a tam, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you pay half a koifer. Well, then Rabbi Akiva is arguing to him. In that case, then that would have to be paid out of the goof of the animal, and you can't because the animal is also b'hanah anyway. Omelo Rav Eliezer. So Rav Eliezer answers him back. Akiva kachani be'er. Sorry, Akiva is a few lines further. Omelo Rav Eliezer kachani be'enecha. Do you think I'm like that in your eyes? In other words, do you think that I don't realize that kind of point? That I'm talking about a case where the animal is chayiv misa. Of course not. I agree. When the animal is chayiv misa, then there's no half a koifa for the reason you said. I never met that in the first place. My din is really, I meant my din to be talking about where the animal killed and there was only one aid or the owner himself comes in and admits it and based it. So when there's one aid, then you can't give the animal skila because you need two aidim for that. And if the owner himself comes and admits, so Rashi doesn't mention over here, but in other places Rashi explains Tosfos brings that the reason is because the reason why we wouldn't kill the animal based on the owner's admission is because it would be moedib knas. And as we've learned before, moedib knas potter, if a person comes and admits in Vastin to something that would make him chayev knas, then he's potter from paying it. Tosfos disagrees with that and says it's not really a knas. It's more because Adam Korov Eitz Mamonai, a person is considered the same way as a person can't give Eidos about himself, the same way he can't give Eidos to this extent about his Mamonai. Now, to be sure, of course, a person can be Machayev himself Mamonai with a Hedah. A person can say, Reuven can say, I owe $100 to Shimon. And if he says that in front of Adam, then he does in fact owe that money to Shimon, even if in fact he didn't owe him before. But the difference is, in other words, that the difference is that here you actually need Edim. The Torah says that you need to have Edim in order to have the matter of skila, and so therefore so just the owner by himself admitting, even if there was another aid together with him, it wouldn't work because that's still not Edus. Whatever the case, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that's the kind of case I'm talking about. So the animal's not being given skila anyhow. So therefore, yes, the animal is available to pay half a kofra from it. Now the pasuk is saying, so now you should have had to pay chatzi kofer, and therefore no, the pasuk is telling you, vala shonoki, that no, in fact, the owner is clean from having to pay that chatzi kofer. In fact, he does not pay. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you're telling me the Torah didn't even need to tell you. The Torah does need to tell you. Sure, when the animal is being given skila, you don't need to be told, but when it's not being given skila, then you need the words of vala shonoki to tell us that. So the Gemara says, "Alpi Bailin, Moedib Knasu." So what do you mean? If it was based on what the owner comes to based in and says, then that would be Moedib Knas. We're giving a reason why Alpi Bailin we can't give the animal skila. Whether that's also part of the Moedib Knas according to Rashi, or whether it's because he's considered a relative and is possible later, according to Tosfos. But whatever the case, fine. The kofer on the face of it is definitely a knas, and therefore, if the owner comes and admits it, then he'd be potter. So why does Rabbi Eliezer need to mention the case? Alpi Bailin, obviously, in the case Alpi Bailin, not only is the animal not getting skila, but it's clear there can't be kofer either, because that would be a knas. So the answer is kasava kofra kapara. Rabbi Eliezer evidently holds that the koifer is considered a kapara. We learned the other day that we had a discussion whether the koifer is kapara or mamon. Do we say that it's basically like any other mamon that you pay for a nezek? His sure killed somebody and therefore deprived the family of a breadwinner or whatever, of an important asset to the family, and therefore you need to pay for that. That would be the way of looking at it, that the koifer is mamon. Or you could say that it's a kapara for the fact that the mazik ought to have been chayiv misa b'dei shamayim, as the pasuk says, v'gamba olav yomos, and therefore he ransoms himself with a koifer. So Rabbi Eliezer holds the koifer as a kapara, so therefore, so you could say, the same way a person can be chayiv achachas, for example, al piyatzma, a person comes and says, I ate chaylev, or I broke Shabbos, or what have you, then he's going to bring a chatas on that basis. You would have thought the same thing is true over here as far as the koifer, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer needs to tell us that it's not so, that the word therefore Rabbi Eliezer tells us, the pasuk says, v'al asher noki, and tells us that it's not so. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanya Idach, now we learn another Braisa, which had another discussion, where this second Braisa is based on the first, but it's talking about the same discussion that Rabbi Eliezer had with Rabbi Akiva, where it starts and the second Braisa is based on the same premise as the first one, where Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Avala Sher Noki means Noki Mechatzi Kofer, and in the second Braisa, Omer Lo Rabbi Eliezer, in the second Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer gives his argument to Rabbi Akiva differently. He says, "Akiva, kachani beinecha shedini v'zeshu chayiv nisa." Do you think that's what I'm talking about? That when the animal is being given skila, the pasuk is telling us you don't pay chatzi kofer. No, ein dini ela miskaven liargus of the hema v'harugus adam l'mitzvi v'harug Yisrael. I'm talking about a case where the animal intended to kill a person, and instead where it intended to kill an animal, and instead it killed a person, or it intended to kill a goy, and instead it killed a yid. Mitzri over here is probably a change from the censor. It's probably supposed to be nochri or something like that. So or the nefalim, or the animal intended to kill a non-viable baby, a baby that was born born. We don't know whether it was after a full-term pregnancy. It might have been one of those babies that was born premature and is not expected to survive. So the animal intended to kill it, v'harag ben kayama, and it ended up killing somebody who is a regular healthy person. Where we're going to learn later on in the parak that in all those cases the animal is plucked from skila. So therefore, that's another example. Rabbi Eliezer says that where the animal is not going to be chayiv skila, and therefore it would be available to collect chatzi kofer from it, and therefore the pasuk needs to tell us that we do not collect chatzi kofer in that case. Okay, so we have two different arguments that Rabbi Eliezer used against Rabbi Akiva to uphold his position. First, he's saying that we're talking about where it was Alpiyei De'echad or Alpiyei Bailin. And then we have the second one, where the animal actually did intend to kill, but not the one that it actually killed. It intended to kill somebody for whom it wouldn't have been Chayiv Nisa. So the Gemara asks, Hey Omalei Bereisha, which of these two arguments did Rabbi Eliezer say first? And before I should discuss why it's important for us to know, Rashi, a little further on, points out that we could say maybe it means that after he made one argument, then he realized, you know what, I have a stronger argument, so then he discarded the original one and changed his mind and said, in that case, the Torah is not talking about that case at all. Or there's different other possibilities. The Pnei Yeshua discusses that the two answers, he actually explains a bit of an arichus, that the two answers kind of contradict each other, and therefore the question is which one he said first, because the second one, if he said one of them and then the other, then he'd be contradicting himself. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana mishmei d'rava oma miskaven oma le'bereisha. So Rav Kahana says he actually said the second one first. First he brought up the point about where the animal intended to kill, where that one is a much stronger proof, because there, given that it intended to kill, and it did in fact kill, just the difference is that it didn't intend to kill the one that it meant to for the first place, so then you say it's a big chiddush, that you shouldn't have to pay chatzi kofer, and therefore you need the pasuk to tell us. As opposed to the previous answer, says Rav Kahana, the one about where he says that if the owner admitted in Beis Din or there was one aid or whatever, that's considered a weaker argument because like we said before, you could answer back. Look, Moedib Knas Potter, so there's no reason to think that he should be paying that Chatzi Kofer and need a posse to tell us otherwise. That's when the owner himself admits, and then when you have one aid, then again, you know, you need two aidim in order to take out any money, even by a mu'ud. If there had been only one aid, you wouldn't be paying kofer. So that one is a lesser raya. So Rav Kahana says he said this one first. He said the stronger argument first. Now, why would he say the stronger argument and then follow it up afterwards with a weaker argument? Moshal, Litzayid, to show the Dogim in Ayam, it's like a fisherman who's catching fish from the sea. Mashkach Ravravi, when he finds big fish, Shokul, then he takes them. Zutri, Shokul, and even when he finds afterwards smaller fish, he's also gonna take them. So the same way, in other words, Rebbe Eliezer would first say the stronger counter-argument to Rebbe Akiva, and afterwards, fine, he doesn't mind also mentioning a weaker counter-argument as well, no problem with that, it doesn't hurt him to mention that, but he would have started off with the strongest argument first, and then he would have followed, which would be the second Braisa, and then he would follow it up with a weaker argument, which would be the second one. On the other hand, Rav Tavyumi, Mishmei de Rabba Omer, Hamis Amalei Bereisha. On the other hand, wait, I have a line over here. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rabba Omer Miskaven Amalei Bereisha. Rav Tavyumi Mishmei de Rabba Omer Hamis Amalei Bereisha. And Rav Tavyumi had said also in the name of Rabba that he said the one about Hamis, the first argument first. So then Rav Kahana is using this metaphor of a fisherman who catches the little fish and then who catches the big fish and then also the little fish in the same way over here. First he brings a stronger proof and then his weaker one. Rav Tavyumi Mishmei de Rabba Omer Hamis Amalei Bereisha. And Rav Tavyumi says he used the weaker argument first from the case where there was only one aid or where the owner admitted, and he mentions that first, and then he follows it up with a stronger argument. Moshal Tzayit Shoyle Dogimir Ayam, like a fisherman catching fish from the sea, Mashkach Zutri Shokil, if first he finds a small fish, then he'll take it, because that's all he has available. Mashkach Ravrivi, then when he finds a bigger one, Shodi Zutri Shokil Ravrivi, then he'll throw away the small one and keep the bigger one, because he might as well have the bigger fish. So the same way over here, because at first he figures that may be the only one I'm going to catch. So now, the same way, first he tells him the weaker argument because he didn't realize that he actually explained that he had a better argument. Later on, when he realized he had the better argument, the case where it intended to kill an animal and kill the person, etc., which is a much stronger argument, there's a much greater reason to argue that the Torah should need to tell us that chiddush, that he still doesn't pay chatzi kofer in that case, then he abandons the first argument and focuses on this one. Achronim bring up the point. I mean, it's one thing when a person is catching fish, he only has so much room in his containers. Over here, we're talking about logical arguments in Torah. There's no reason why he can't keep both, arguments. Now, so the Pnei Yeshua, following his Shitta, says, in fact, the two of them contradict one another, and therefore he can't. He'd either have to use one or the other, and therefore he's going to stick with the stronger argument. On the other hand, the Kikoyan de Yona brings over here that he says that, listen, even when it comes to here, the person to begin with catches the small fish, and he realizes he may not end up keeping them the same way over here. Rabbi Eliezer is going to look for whatever counter-argument he can first, and later on, Rabbi Eliezer realizes, Rabbi Eliezer says, you know what, I am going to find a better answer, but for the time being, this answer will do. So it's like first taking the small fish just taking the small fish provisionally just for the time being until he finds something better the same way over here. Fine, he doesn't necessarily have to discard the original argument unless you say, like Pnei Yeshua, that they contradict one another, but the point is that eventually he can, the point is that he's only taking the weaker answer only because right now he doesn't have anything better. Anyway, so according to Rav Tavyumi, that's how the discussion went. Okay. So all of that is a point to Rebbe Eliezer.
How can you say an animal intends to kill when it doesn't have das? I mean,
well, no, we can see, for example, we can see the animal is chasing after another animal intending to gore it, and then somehow a person walks in over there and ends up killing him or something like that. We don't mean what the animal is thinking. We can see from the animal's actions what it's doing. Okay. Anyway, all of that is according to Rebbe Eliezer, then, that we're using the word Vala Shonoki to say that it means that you would have thought that there's a case where you pay Chatzi Koifer, and therefore the Pasuk is telling you with the words Vala Shonoki then. Tanya Idoch, now we learn a different Braisa with a different opinion on the subject. Vala Shonoki, Rabbi Yosef Gulli Omer Noki means Mei Vlodis. Rabbi Yosef Gulli says that the words Vala Shonoki teach us that if the animal gored and killed a pregnant woman, that if the animal gored, or not killed actually, if it injured a pregnant woman and caused her to miscarry, then the owner is not paying dmei vlodis, or half the dmei vlodis, whatever, as you would have if people did that. We learn in Parshas Mishpatim that if two people are fighting, and one of them, we talked about this the other day, and one of them injures a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, then he has to pay Dmei Vlodis. Then we go to Beis Din, and we figure out what the value, what the difference is in her value between being pregnant and not, and the Mazik pays the difference. The words of Allah Sharnaki teach us it's not that, it's not so if a Shur does that, says Rabbi Yosef Levi. Which we've learned before, Rabbi Yosef Levi does in fact hold, or at least a strong reason to think, that he holds that he is in fact chayev and chatzi kofa. We touched on it at the end of the first parak, so therefore he can't use the derasha, the way Rabbi Eliezer is using to say that he's potter from chatzi kofa, he's using it instead for chatzi dmei vlonis. Omale Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says again, why do you need that, why do you need a posit, obala sharnoki for that? The pasuk says when people are fighting and they injure a woman, implying and the word anoshim means below shvarim, means that it applies only to people, not to oxen. So automatically from that you know that if an ox injures a woman, he's potter from dmei vlodis. So why do you need from uvala shornoki to tell us otherwise? And by the way, the Pnei Yeshua points out, there's no question of skila. The animal, even if a person did this, he wouldn't be chayiv misa for the vlodis. Whether he's chayiv misa for killing, if the woman herself gets killed as well, that's machlokas elsewhere in Shas. But definitely for the vlodis is not chayiv misa. So therefore, the shor is not going to be chayiv misa either. So there's no haviyeru based in the shalom loch like Rabbi Akiva argued to Rabbi Eliezer before. Rather, the question is that we have a different pasuk that already tells us that he's potter from it. So the Gemara says, Shaper ka'amar Rabbi Akiva. Nu, doesn't Rabbi Akiva have a good point? What does Rabbi Yosef Levi answer to that? The fact is, Rabbi Yosef Levi would say that you need both things. You need the word anoshim, but you still need a vala shonopi. Sakrat chamina, otherwise you would think, anoshim v'lo shvarim, you know what you mean when we're saying that the Torah is saying this din applies to people and not oxen, would be that hadoimin ma'anoshim would only be when the oxen are similar to people in a certain way, meaning ma'anoshim mu'adin, the same way as people are always mu'ad, because adam mu'ad la'olam, af shvarim mu'adin, then even with the oxen, we'd only be talking about when the ox is mu'ad, ha'tam l'chayev, implying that if the animal was tam, then you would be chayev in dmei vlodis. So Tosva says, I mean, what's the logic that because it became mu'ad, it would be more potter, but at least it would be, in other words, that with a mu'ad, we would say that it's chayev as a tam, it's chayev in chatzi dmei vlodis, and as a mu'ad, it would also continue to be chayev in chatzi dmei vlodis. It wouldn't lose that by virtue of being a mu'ad. In effect, we'd say, like we said before, tzad tamos, b'mkoymai medis, we'd say that we still continue to treat it to some extent like a tam. So you would say though that when a person does this and a person is mu'ad, then they're potter, then they're chayev in dmei vlodis. When an ox does it, even though the ox is mu'ad like the person, nevertheless, at least by virtue of being a mu'ad, it's potter.
If the thing behind the mu'ad isn't it, it's always doing it, if the dangerous beast should be locked up, then why is it potter?
So that, well, because that, I mean, the fact is, the Torah is saying that an owner of a shor is chayev when it kills a person or when it injures a person. But here we're talking about as far as the specific thing of dmei vlodis, where we're saying that the Torah is mentioning that it applies only when people are fighting. I mean, you could say the same when people are doing this. I mean, you could say the same thing as far as tsar and ripui and so forth. We've learned before that if an ox gores, then you don't pay those things. The fact is, an ox can cause a damage that would also involve tsar and ripui and so forth. Nevertheless, Zeus HaKosev, that it applies only to people. So you would say over here, so you would think again, says Rav Ula Vreder of Idi, you would think that Kosev Rahman, Bala Shonoki, the potter, therefore the Torah has to tell us, Bala Shonoki, to tell us that even when the animal is a tam, it's still completely potter. That there's no chiyuv for Dmei Vlodis at all when it comes to a shur. So that would be, in other words, so it does say anoshim, and like Rabbi Akiva says, anoshim means beloy shvarim, but that would only tell us about a mu'ad. So therefore we need a vala shonoki to tell us, even in the case of a tam, then also there's no Dmei Vlodis, not even half of Dmei Vlodis.
But we have to tell this by a mu'ad because
we're saying by a mu'ad is similar to a person in that regard. But Omar Rava says, what kind of logic, or Rabba, it says on the side over here, Rabba says, what's the logic to say that you could have a Hava minute to think that way? Yatsiva ba'arav v'giyorav v'shmei Shemaya. How could it be that the citizen, the native born Yid is on the ground and the Ger is on the highest heavens? It's actually based on a Loshon HaPosuk from the Tochacha. We have a Loshon HaPosuk, a Ger Asher v'kibucha yala lachamala mota, yala mala, etc. That the Ger Toshav, the Goyim living among Jews, are going to go higher and higher under the conditions that it says in the Tosafot. But it became a popular expression that, in other words, you can't have that the stronger thing should be in a weaker position and the other way around. A mu'ud, after all, is more stringent than a tam. What's the logic to say that a mu'ud should be potter from something that a tam should be chayav for? And again, even according to Tosafot's point, still the fact is, a tam is still more lenient in that he's paying only migufay. So what's the logic to think that a tam would be chayev to pay for it and a mu'ud would be completely potter? So you can't learn that way. There's no reason to say that the pasuk would be doing that. That the pasuk would have to be telling us with the word anoshim that is referring only to a mu'ud. So then we're back to the question, why do we need two things? Why do we need the word anoshim in connection with the Dnei Vodis, as well as Uvala Shonoki appointed of Yosef Levi? Ella Omar Rava Itzrich. So rather, Rava says, no, there's a different reason why appointed of Yosef Levi, we need both psukim. Sakra Chamina. Otherwise, we would think, it's true, we're going to compare Anoshim, but Shvarim Adomim Anoshim. Fine, from the word Anoshim, yes, we would say it means only people, not animals that are in a certain way similar to people. Mash, Ama Anoshim Uodim, Ach Shvarim Uodim, Vakal Vachloim Vlatamin Diptiri. So then you would say that just like the people are Muad, the Shur we're also talking about is Muad, but we would say that when they're Muad, then they're Potter, Vakal Vachloim Vlatamin Diptiri. And then kavachomer that tamim would be potter as well, because a tam is always going to be less serious than that. Therefore, the Torah specifically says by a tam that the owner of the shor is noki, meaning tam potter or mu'ud chayim. What we're doing with that is we're saying that uvala shor noki means as long as the animal is a tam, which is the context in which it says the words uvala shor noki, then it is potter. Once it becomes a mu'ud, then in fact he's going to be chayim in demei vlodis. You had the word anoshim, but the word anoshim itself, we would have said, based on a kal v'chomer, that it means that we would have said anoshim refers to mu'adim. We would have said if the mu'ad is potter, how much more so the tam is potter. Now we'd be turning it around with a vala shonoki and say the other way around. Yes, the tam remains potter, and there's no chatsid mei vlodis, but when it's a mu'ad, then in fact you are having to pay mei vlodis. Like in a sense, like a person, right? So in other words, Tosfos spells out that it means when we say noki means dmei vlodis, we mean that only when it's a tam is a potter from dmei vlodis. If it hadn't said anoshim at all, then we would say it would be potter by both of them. So in other words, the two psukim work together to tell us that the miyot of anoshim v'lo shvarim applies only to a tam. A tam is not really like a person, because a person is other more loyal. Nevertheless, that's why we have two psukim to tell us that distinction. So then you could learn like that. You could learn like that to point to Rabbi Yosef Levi, and that would explain that. So that would answer Rabbi Akiva's question of why you need both psukim, because he would say that's what the two psukim are telling us. Ultimately, it tells us that it is chayev in the case of Mu'an for Dmei Vlodis.
I mean, this just feels rather comfortable understanding.
Well, yeah, but nevertheless, the problem with it is Amalei Abaye Elam Ata Gabid Boshes Nami Neimahachu Anoshim V'Lo Shvarim Adomim Anoshim. In that case, then apply the same kind of thing to Boshes. Now we've learned before, and we're gonna learn in more detail in the next parak that when it comes to not in the next parak, we're gonna learn actually later on in the Masech that we touched on it earlier in the previous parak, that when it comes to a shur, you're only paying for nezek, you're not paying for the other ones, you're not paying for tsar or ripui, etc., and not for boshes. So we're focusing over here on boshes because the Mishnah later on mentions it explicitly, but in fact the same thing applies to the other ones as well. So by the same logic, you could say, so in other words, even a person was injured by a shur, and that injury involves boshes as well. So nevertheless, the owner of the shur is potter from boshes. Now, we did learn at the end of the second parak, we learned on Daf Chavav Chav Zayin, we said that if a person intends to cause nezek, then even if he didn't specifically intend to cause boshes, he's still chayev for the boshes. But by an ox, it's not like that. Even if the ox intends to cause damage, and we can see it's running after the person and intending to attack him, nevertheless he's potter from boshes. But by the same logic, says Abaya, you should work out the same way over here. You should say the same thing over here. Anoshim, where do we know the concept of boshes? You have also a case where the Torah mentions that two people are fighting. You have the case where two people are fighting and the wife of one of them intervenes to help out her husband, etc. And again, you have the word anoshim over there. So you should try to douse it in the same way. This doesn't apply to oxen when they're doing similar to people. And you would say then that a tam, if a muad is potter, then how much more so a tam is potter? Tam potter or muad chayim. Then you would say the same thing by boshes, that if the animal is a muad, then you are in fact chayim for boshes. And we know it's not so. Tosfos actually discusses at some length over here. Now, you do have Rabbi Akiva himself holds that the fact that you don't pay boshes for an animal's injury. We learned actually earlier, we learned in the previous parak that Rabbi Akiva actually learns it from a different pasuk, the ish yitin mum b'amisoi, ish b'amisoi v'lo shur b'amisoi. When a person causes a mum in somebody else, then that means only a person, not a shur. So Tosfos discusses at some length. What? That's it. It includes boshes. It includes all the other payments. It includes tsar and ripui and so forth. And the Tosfos discusses over here why in that case we need both the word anoshim that we're referring over here as well as the word ish. Anyway, the point is that you would think to doubt in that way. V'chitema hochi nami. So you're going to argue, continues Abaya. Well, maybe Rabbi Yisrael really holds that there are cases where the owner of a shur is paying for boshes. Well, the problem is that doesn't work. Hochi listeni bala shur noki. Rabbi Yisrael really oima potim mei vlodis umi boshes. You would say then Rabbi Yisrael really should be mentioning that. Instead of just saying that from his drosha over Vala Shon Naki, we're learning that the owner is potter from Dmei Vlodis, he should also add that the owner is also potter from Boshes. And then we would understand, like the way that Rava explained before, that it means only when the animal is a tam as he potter from these things, but when it's moored, he'd be chayev in both of those things. The fact that Rabbi Yisrael really doesn't mention that implies that he agrees with all the other Tanoim that you're not paying boshes for the attack of an ox. Well, in that case, then why not? If you're gonna douse him the way you just did with Anoshim and end up saying that he's paying Dmei Vlodis when he's a Moor, the same kind of drosha would lead us to say that you're paying Boshes as well. And the fact is, we're saying Rabbi Yisrael really doesn't hold that. So you can't say that that's the basis for his, that's the basis for his din. Ella Abaya v'Rava d'Amitavayu. Rather, Abaya and Rava both explain there's a different reason why Rabbi Yisrael really is saying that the owner is of the animal is potter from Dmei Vlodis, and that we're saying that even though Rabbi Akiva is saying on the face of it you have the word anoshim for that, nevertheless Rabbi Yisrael really is still saying I need the word of Allah Shonoki for that, because you have to consider the case when you have let's look at the psukim that talk about this case involving the pregnant woman. The pasuk says, "V'chiyinotzvan noshin." Two people are fighting. V'nogfu ishahara. They injure a pregnant woman. V'yotzu yiladeh. Her unborn babies come out. She miscarries. V'loyia osain. There is no osain. Osain is like you have in this week's parasha when Yaakov is worried about Yosef, is worried about Binyamin going to Mitzrayim, penyikrenu osain, that he might die on the way. So v'loyia osain means there's no death. The woman herself was not killed. So then you have Dmei Vlodis, the pasuk says. Then the pasuk continues, and the next pasuk being osain yia, if there is an osain, if the woman herself is killed, then you have nefesh tachas nefesh. There you have a machloikas elsewhere in Shas, whether it means nefesh tachas nefesh, does it actually mean that the person is put to death, or does it mean just that he's paying mammon? The same way as ayin tachas ayin means mammon. The point of it is basically, if he didn't intend to kill her, he was intending to kill the other guy he's fighting with, is that enough to be machayev and misa for killing her? That's a discussion elsewhere in Shas. Anyway, so now Abaya and Rava both give an explanation like this. What it means is, anoshim, it means like this. The pasuk is saying, if people are fighting, ein osin v'isha, if there was no osin with the woman, if the woman herself was not killed, only that she miscarried, ye onshu, then they get penalized, as the pasuk says, that then they paid dmei vodis. Yesh osin v'isha, lo ye onshu. But if there was an osin, if the woman herself was killed, then they're not getting punished with dmei vodis, because kam leva d'rabba mine, because now they're chayiv misa. On the other hand, veloy shvarim, now we're just from the word anoshim, you would douse in veloy shvarim, none of this would apply to oxen, to afagav to yesh osin, even if there is osin, even if the woman herself is killed, ye onshu, they would still be penalized with mei vladis, because the ox is not going to be chayiv misa. The ox is not chayiv misa, like we said before, when it intended to kill, it didn't intend to kill her, it intended to kill another animal or something. So if we only had the word anoshim, we would have said that actually that's what it means, that an ox is going to be chayiv, the mei vladis, no matter what, whether the woman herself was killed or not. Kasa rachmana, bala shernoki, depotter. Therefore, says Rabbi Yisagli, that's why we need the vala shernoki to tell us that no, even in that case, he's potter from mei vladis. Even though there's no kumle b'dirabimine, Nevertheless, he's still potter from dmei vladis.
What's the
basis is because it says rava sharnaki.
and that's also boshes.
Forget about boshes. Now we're talking about dmei vladis. So boshes is not an issue. So we're saying when it comes to boshes, fine. We're not doushening like we tried to say before that there should be a difference with boshes between tam and mord. Because the fact is we see Rav Yosef really doesn't hold that. He's talking strictly about dmei vladis. But the difference is, by dmei vladis, you have this factor of osain or not osain, whereby a person, it's going to make a difference whether he's paying dmei vladis or not. So therefore, the Torah needs to tell us that by a shur, it doesn't matter whether there was osain or whether there wasn't. Either way, the shur is potter. By a person, he'd be chayev for dmei vladis if the woman herself wasn't killed, and he'd be potter if she was not, because come live with the rabbin, eh? By an ox, we would have thought that it's chayev, and therefore the Torah is telling us that it's potter.
Why don't you say come live with the ox? Because
an ox, you don't have come live with the rabbin.
If it kills, you don't kill it?
Yeah, that's what we're saying, because it didn't kill. Well, that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. It doesn't depend on whether she killed, it depends on the kavana. When it comes to a person, you can say kum libid abimine, it depends maybe on the kavana. Meaning like this, in other words, Rashi says, the next question, the Gemara, let's learn Rav Adaba Ava's question and then we'll clarify. So, Rav Adaba Ava, alter ba'osin talya milsa. So Rav Adaba Ava asks, though, what do you mean? After all, even by a person who kills, it doesn't really depend only exclusively on whether the woman died or not. The kavana talya milsa. Ultimately, it depends on his kavana. If he intended to kill the other guy and he killed her, then he would actually be he'd be potter from misa. We wouldn't say kom lebederabamine, because we would only say that when he intended to kill her. Now Rashi points out two things. First of all, Rav Adaba Ava agrees with Rav Shimon, who says that point. Now, you have a case that the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin. Niskaven l'arek ha'zeh v'horek ha'zeh. If a person intends to kill one yid, and instead he kills another yid, the chum say he'd be chayiv misa, Rav Shimon says he's potter. So therefore, so you don't have kum levedid abaminei. Now, also, Rashi explains that, now we've learned earlier, in the Masechta, and we've learned in Ksubas, and we've learned in different places, an explanation from Tana Dvei Chizkia that says that when it comes to the whole concept of Kom Levi D'Rabamine, it doesn't matter whether there's an actual Chiyav Misa, the fact that there's a potential Chiyav Misa is enough to pater him from Mammon. Tanan Vechizki had explained the same way as when a person injures an animal, it doesn't matter whether it was Beshoigig or Bemezin. Either way, he's chayev. The same way when he kills an animal, for that matter, the same way when he kills a person, no difference whether it was Shoigig or Bemezin. Either way, he's potter from Tashlumin because there would have been Kamalei B'Dirabimine had it been Bemezin. Now, so Rashi says, Rav Adaba Abba does not agree with that concept. So therefore, he would say that only when the person is chayev Nisa is there going to be is there going to be that he's potter from Tashlomin because Kom Levi D'Rabimine? So not when there's no Chiyuv Nisa because he didn't, not when there's no Chiyuv Nisa. And in this case, even though he killed her, there wouldn't be a Chiyuv Nisa according to Rav Shimon because he intended to kill somebody else, the guy he's fighting with. Therefore, says Rav Adaba Abba, based on that, then there's no reason to argue that the person in that case is potter from Misa, and you would have, is potter from Tashlumin, and therefore that you would have thought that the Shur is also, that you would have thought that the Shur is a, it may be Chayev or maybe potter and Tashlumin, depending whether the woman was killed or not, and therefore we need a Vala Shur Noki to tell us either way it's potter. You don't need that, says Rav Adaba Abba, based on the Svaris that he just said. You have no, the person, if the woman is killed, the person is never paying in the first place. Now that's a point of Rashi. Tosfos doesn't really like that for a couple of reasons. First of all, so what's the problem? Okay, Rav Adaba Abba holds like Rav Shimon. Doesn't mean Abaya and Rava have to hold like Rav Shimon also. They're entitled to hold like the Chachamim. Second of all, also, Tosfos points out that the Gemara elsewhere implies that nobody disagrees with Tonid Vechizki. Everybody agrees with his concept that Kom Levi D'Rabimine applies whether it was Shoigig or Mezin. So what are we saying? All of a sudden that Rabbi Adaba Abba disagrees with that. At least the Gemara should ask about that. So Tosfos explains that Abaya and Rava would be trying to draw a distinction whether the ox actually intended to kill the woman herself or not. If the ox was actually chasing after her and trying to kill her, then we would say that he'd be chayev and dmei vlodis. Because at least with the people, we're not talking about where they intended to injure her or kill her. She just kind of got in the way. If they intend to kill her, then they'd be chayiv misa. So now by a person, you can say kom levi d'rabimine on the face of it, a shur, there's no such thing. Kom levi d'rabimine applies to the person who's paying it, not to the shur. So now Rav Adaba Abba is asking that even by kavana, it also there's also going to be the distinction of whether they're intending to kill her when they cause her to miscarry or not, and so therefore by the shur itself, then therefore you would also say we would say he does agree with Tonid Vechizkiya that there's no difference between Shoigig and Mezid, but he'd be saying that even if they did end up killing her, they didn't intend to, so therefore they're only chayev and mammon, they're not actually chayev nisa, so therefore, so how does it work over here with the shur? We see that even by people, even when the woman was killed, we sometimes make them chayev to pay when they didn't intend to kill her, so in that case, then by the shur, even if an intended to actually kill her, then we should say that already he's potter from Dmei Vlodis, and therefore you need a Vala Shur Noki, and therefore you don't need a Vala Shur Noki to tell us otherwise. So that's how Tosfos explains over here in order to explain again that this way we don't have to say that Rav Adaba Abba is arguing with Tonid Vechizki or that he's going only according to the Pshim, and you can make his question work even according to the mainstream opinions in Halach. Anyway, so Ella Omer Rav Adaba Abba.
One second.
Rav Adaba Abba says no. The reason why you need to learn the drosha the way Rav Yosef really does, why you need a Vala Shur Noki is Anoshim Kiniskavnu Zelozeh. What it means is like this. Yes, we are talking about Kavon. When people are intending for one another, meaning one of them is actually trying to injure or kill the other one, or to kill one another and not her, Afa Gavshi Yash Osin Beisha. Even if there is an osir, even if the woman herself ends up getting killed, ye onshu, they still get penalized and they pay dmei vlodis. Because again, we're following the opinion of Rebbe, which is that when it says v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, doesn't mean they get killed. It means that they pay mamon. So then they're paying mamon for the isha herself as well as for the vladis. He niskavna the isha atzma, but if they had meant to actually kill her herself, lo ya'onshu, then they're not punished with mei vladis because they're punished with misa. Kam lebedinam. V'loy shvarim, we would say based on that, anoshim would mean v'loy shvarim, da'afilo le isha atzma ya'onshu, even if the shor intended to kill the woman, where therefore it's being given misa, ya'onshu, you would think that nevertheless it's still chayiv in mei vladis. Therefore, says Rabbi Yisraeli, the words of Bala Sharnaki teach us not like that, diptiri, that the owner of the shur is potter from Dmei Vladis regardless, whether the animal intended to kill the woman or not. So that's why, according to Rabbi Yisraeli, he would answer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is saying, don't we have from the word Anoshim? No, Rabbi Yisraeli is saying, the fact is, with Anoshim, since with Anoshim, you have to draw the distinction who they intended to kill, whether one man intended to kill the other one, or whether he intended to kill her, and there's going to be a difference as far as Kom Lebedirabimine. So therefore, we would have thought the same thing as far as it's true, as far as a sure, and therefore we need a Vala Shor Naki to tell us otherwise. So the Gemara says, "V'chein ki osir v'chage mitzrayma." For that, so similarly, when Rav Chage came from the south of Eretz Yisrael, also he came v'aisim asnisa biyadei, and he brought along with him a brisa. Kava said that Rav Adav Ava, exactly the way Rav Adav Ava had explained Rabbi Yisraeli's opinion that Rabbi Yisraeli is saying that anoshim is not enough because from anoshim we would have thought that there's a difference between people and shvarim as far as when he's chayv may vlogis and when we're potter, and therefore vala shor naki is needed to teach us that we're always, that a shor is always potter from may vlogis. So exactly the same as Rabbi Adav Ava explained it. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Idach. Now we learn a nut. So far we've had Rabbi Yezer says that we learn from Uvala Shonaki that it means as long as the animal is a tam, you're not paying chatzi koifer. Then we had now Rabbi Yisraeli saying Uvala Shonaki teaches us that you're not paying dmei vladis when the animal attacks a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry. Now we have Tanya Idach. Now we have another Braisa that gives a different Durasha from the word Uvala Shonaki. Vala Shonaki. It means also that the owner of the shur is clean, is potter from paying the value of the eved. So meaning in other words, now with an eved you have like this. Tosfos actually on Amud Beis explains that Rabbi Akiva may mean that he's potter completely from paying the value of the eved. Meaning in other words that if the shur was a tam, then he's not paying even the value of the eved itself because the shur is going to be killed. On the other hand, Rashi is saying that it doesn't mean the value of the eved that he would have to pay like any other nezek. It means the knas of 30 shkolim, which the pasuk mentions that he had to pay, that would only apply, says Rabbi Akiva. You learn from the word of Vala Sharnaki that does not apply to a tam, only to a mu'ah. So he wouldn't be paying that. So they want to ask Venema Ihul and Venema Rabbi Akiva Lanafshe. Now, in the argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer we had before, so Rabbi Eliezer had said that he's potter from, Chatzi Koifer, and Rabbi Akiva had said to him, what do you need a posik for? Anyway, the shur is being given skila, so therefore you can't pay anything with Gufay as well. Well, the same thing should apply over here. How can you pay the value of the Eved, or the 30 for the Eved, as the case may be, out of the shur when it's dead? And then it's also Bana. So the name of Rabbi Akiva Nafshe, Valoy Atma in Mishal Malagofoy. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva use that same argument on himself? He should say that given that the animal is being given skila, there's no possible payment out of it itself. So therefore, so you would say, Habi Yerula based in Vishalamach. Valoy Atma in Mishal Malagofoy. Now everything by a tam is paid out of the goof of the animal. Habi Yerula based in Vishalamach. So bring it to based and it'll pay you. So why do you need a plastic to tell us that you're not paying if anyway the shoulder is being given skila? And Tosfos points out, now you can't say that at this point Rabbi Akiva didn't realize those arguments yet that he's presenting to Rabbi Eliezer, and he only realized it afterwards. No, the Gemara assumes that right now already when Rabbi Akiva said this again, he already knew that. So the answer is Omer of Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Kishakodam Baila Vashachtai. The case would be where the owner went ahead before Gmar Din and shechted the animal. So now, we said before, it becomes also Ma'ana if he shechts it after Gmar Din, but here he did it before Gmar Din, therefore the meat is Mutar Ma'ana, until Ma'ar Detem, the Shtalim Minei, so you would think, nevertheless, he should still have to pay out the value of the Eved, or the 30 Sloyim for the Eved, out of the meat of it, Kamash Malan, therefore Rabbi Akiva is telling us, no, the Pasuk is saying, Vala Shonaki, Hoylo, Vark Tolahu, since this ox did something that would make it Chayav Misa, Afa got the Shachte, even though in practice the owner was shechted it before it ever got Skila, Loyla Shtalamine, then the Pasuk is saying, Vala Shonaki, that he's not obligated to pay out of that. So again, according to Rashi, he'd be potter from the 3 for the Eved, but he'd be chayev for the regular Nezek. He'd be chayev for the fact that he deprived him of an Eved. According to Tosfos, we'd be talking about that he's potter complete. Okay, but
he just killed him and then he gets eaten meat also.
Okay, but there's a cost. That's what it means. Avala Shonaki. So the Gemara says, well then Rabbi Eliezer could have used that same answer as well, back when Rabbi Akiva argued to him and said, why do you need a pasuk to tell us you're part of Mechatzi Koifer? If the animal is being given skila, you can't do Koifer out of it anyway. And Rabbi Eliezer has to find scenarios where the animal is part of a misa because there was only one aid, or the owner's admission, or because it meant to kill an animal and kill the person, etc. That's what we said before. We said that when the animal is a tam, then it's part of. Then we said it's part of Mechatzi Koifer on the basis of the pasuk of Ala Shonaki. So Rabbi Akiva had argued to him, look, the animal is getting skila, you can't pay out of its goof anyhow. And Rabbi Eliezer had said, yeah, that's not what I was talking about. Of course, I'm not talking about where the animal's chayiv misa. I'm talking about where it's not chayiv misa for one reason or another. Well, now that we have Rabbi Akiva's point that we can be talking about where the animal is chayiv misa, but he preemptively shechted it, well, why couldn't Rabbi Yezid use that argument as well and say to Rabbi Akiva, even when the animal is chayiv misa, nevertheless, you need a case where the Torah tells you, Vala Shonaki, that you're potter from Chatzi Kofer, namely where the animal is motav anah because you shechted it before Gmar Din. The same thing as Rabbi Akiva is saying over here.
So in general, if a tam kills.
If a tam kills, it's chayav misa.
So
the Gemara says, Hochinami. Yes, that's true. Rabbi Akiva knew when he asked the question that Rabbi Eliezer could answer that. So first, the question is, why is Rabbi Akiva even asking the question to Rabbi Eliezer? Once Rabbi Akiva himself realizes a svara that you can have a case where an animal is chayiv misa, and yet before it ever becomes chayiv misa, before the actual Gmar Din, he shechts it, the same way Rabbi Akiva should have realized that before he even bothered asking the question to Rabbi Eliezer. So the answer is Hochinami, yes, that's true. Rabbi Akiva knew that is possible. Vesava, but he still asked the question, Duma Isla, Time Achrina, Do Odit Mahai, maybe Rabbi Eliezer has a better answer than Name Alay, and then he'll tell me that. So therefore he asked the question, not because he figured there's no answer, and that way he can slug up Rabbi Eliezer, but just to see, is Rabbi Eliezer going to find a better answer than that? You find, by the way, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin right before Rabbi Eliezer passes away. He says, he cries, and he says, there's so much in Torah that I know that I never had a chance to teach because nobody ever asked me it except for Akiva ben Yosef. So we see this is an example where Rabbi Akiva asked him. We don't find any of Rabbi Eliezer's other Talmidim doing this, asking him questions even where they know there's a perfectly good answer because they want to see if he has a better answer.
He's the same person who said that, I don't know where you're taking me to?
Yeah. That was Rabbi Yechon Mazakai. That was Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, Lishni Le Shekodim Meshachtai. So Taka, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer use that reason at all? Instead of giving that answer, he has to find the other answers that we said before, where it was Al-Pi Eidecha or Al-Pi Abaylim, or where it intended to kill an animal. Why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer say, even in those cases, the animal is not chayav misa at all. Let Rabbi Eliezer say, yes, there can be a case where the animal is actually going to be chayav misa because it did actually intend to kill a person and it did so. And yet, even in that case, the Torah needs to tell us, uvala shonaki, that you're not paying chatzi kofer because the case is where it shechted it ahead. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer think to answer that answer? And the answer is Amalach, because Rabbi Eliezer will answer you, Hosam hu dineskavim largus abahem of ahorgus adam. No, you know what? In the answer that I gave before, where the animal intended to kill another animal, and instead it killed a person, in that Desher La Baktolahu Klal, where the Sher therefore is not Chayav Misa at all, so therefore you need a Pasuk to tell us that you're Potter from Kofer, the Sak that Hamin and Mechayav, you would think that therefore the owner should be Chayav and Chatzi Kofer, just like he's Chayav and Chatzi Nezek for a time, the Itzuch Kralam Oti, therefore we need a Pasuk to tell us otherwise. Abel Hocha, but the case you're talking about, Rabbi Akiva, where you shech the animal, to begin with, the animal was going to be chayiv misa. So you don't really need a pasuk that even though you shechted it, then you should have, then you shouldn't have to pay chatzi kofer. Because to begin with, obviously, given the circumstances where the likelihood is the animal is going to get skila, not necessarily is the owner going to go and shecht it, then yes, there's much stronger reason to think that you're going to be potter because you're not going to be able to collect chatzi kofer anyway, and therefore there's no reason for the Torah to be mamayake. So in other words, on the contrary, he was saying before that Rabbi Akiva argued, he says, I understand this would be a weak answer. I want to see if Rabbi Eliezer has a better answer. So Rabbi Eliezer, in effect, is saying just that. To say that the Torah is saying that it's potter from chatzi kofer only in the case where the animal, where the owner shechted the animal would be a very weak answer. There's very little reason to think that the Torah should have to give a miut for a case like that. Much more likely that the Torah is telling us that even when the animal is not chayav misa at all, so there's no possibility even that the animal is ever going to be osabana, yet you're potter from chatzi kofer. So that's why Rabbi Eliezer didn't even bother with this answer, because there'd be much less of a chiddush in it that the Torah shouldn't need to be telling us that. Well, the Gemara asked back, Rabbi Akiva vader hachi hava. Well, that's true, according to Rabbi Akiva as well. So why does Rabbi Akiva say in his case over here that when it comes to Dmei Eved, that he's bringing in this point of the animal being shechted, it's true, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's true, following Rabbi Eliezer's svara, there's very little reason to think the Torah should have to give a miut for such a thing, for such a case. So Ela, Omer Rav Asi, so Rav Asi says, no, you're right. You can't use this explanation of what Rabbi Akiva is saying that we're talking about, that he would say the cases where the animal was shechted and the pasuk is being machadish for us that you don't pay Dmei Eved. It's true. Given Rabbi Eliezer's svara, Rabbi Akiva would have to agree to that there's no reason to assume the Torah would be giving us a miut for such a case. So Rabbi Asi says, "Hi Milson, if he got me pi to gaber Rabbi Shmuley, I heard the following explanation from a great person, Umanu, and who is that? I want to interject, Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina. That Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina explained as follows: the reason why Rabbi Akiva would say, why do you need a vala show noki to say that you're not paying Dmei Eved if again the owner, the shur is getting skila and therefore it's going to be also ba'ana anyway, and the svara that we said that you could shecht it and therefore the Torah needs to tell you that nevertheless you're still potter is a weak kind of svara. Rather, there's a different reason, Rabbi Akiva says. It's talking about Chumina. Hoyo v'omer Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva himself has said, as we learned in the previous parak, now like this, we have the difference between tam and mord, chatzi nezek versus nezek sholim, what we learned before, Rabbi Akiva holds that no, for sure tam injures a person, then even if the owner, even if the animal is a tam, you're still paying nezek sholim. So we said that the case was that you had a sure tam and a person got into a fight, and each one injured the other, but the injury to the person is more. Then we're saying the owner of the ox pays nezek sholim on the difference. So the person caused $100 worth of damage to the ox. The ox caused $150 worth of damage to the person, so the 100 cancels each other out, but you have the owner of the ox is paying 50, not 25, as it would be usually with a tam.
Because we learned
in the previous paragraph that he learns that the whole concept of tam versus mord only applies when it's one animal attacking another. But when it's an animal attacking a person, then he says you pay nezek sholim. Actually, we discussed a few blocks ago two possibilities of how you pay chatzi nezek in that case. Do you figure out the difference and then take half of that, or do you figure out the difference, or do you figure out the half of nezek in the first place and then cancel each other out? Whatever. The point is, here Rabbi Akiva is saying it's irrelevant. You're paying nezek sholim. So given that, Rabbi Akiva holds, therefore, so you would think, Mishtalam nami dmei eved me aliyah. Therefore, you would think if you're paying the 30 for an Eved, then you're paying the Aliyah. If Rabbi Akiva is holding that a Tam is like a Mord, when it injures or kills a person, well, the same thing should apply, then that's going to be like a Mord, and you're paying the Aliyah, not out of the body of the Shur. So it wouldn't matter whether the Shur is getting skiller, because either way, the owner was on the hook for that amount of money. So, Kosev Rahman, Bala Shur Naki, therefore the Torah would have to be telling us, or Vala Shur Naki, to tell us that it's not like that, and that the owner is in fact potter from the value, from paying the value of the Eved. So, so that would be a point. So nothing to do with whether you shechted the animal or not, but rather we're saying that so Rabbi Akiva. So there's a particular reason why, according to Rabbi Akiva, we need this miut from Uvala Shonaki, because otherwise, based on his own shitta, you would say the din is different. Now, on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer holds that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Rabbi Akiva on that. He says there's no difference between a tam that injures a person and a tam that injures an animal. Either way, it's chatzi nezek. So according to him, there's no reason to draw this distinction. Therefore, he's not going to say that Uvala Shonaki teaches us anything about the Eden. But the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Asi, v'hatavei Rabbi Akiva l'gzizei. Didn't we learn before that Rabbi Akiva broke his fist? In other words, even though Rabbi Akiva had said that the Tam is paying Nezek Shalom in this case, nevertheless, he's still saying he pays Nezek Shalom only Migufay, not Min Haliyah in the first place. The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Yochol Yishalom Min Haliyah, this that I'm saying that a Tam pays Nezek Shalom if it injured a person, you would think that the owner has to pay min haliyah like an actual mord. Tamud loyma, therefore the pasuk says kamishpat hazeya osiloi, according to this law should be done to him, which is talking about tam, migufa mishalim ve'en mishalim min haliyah. So your osiloi, it's done to him, meaning that we say it's still done only to the shur itself, that the shur itself is what you're paying the nezek shalim out of. So even though Sir Rabbi Akiva himself already says that this nezek shalim you're paying only migufa. So therefore there's no reason to think by the case of the Eved, that it should be any different, and therefore that you should need a positive, given that, again, the Shur is getting skila, you can't pay any money for an Eved out of a Shur that's getting skila, then why does he need the words of Allah Shur Naki to tell us that you're not paying it? If anyway, you can't, because you're anyway that, even though the animal was a tam, you're still paying the gufay, and the animal is getting skila, and therefore there's no guf to pay out of. Ella Amar Rava Itzrich. Rather, Rava says there's a different reason why Rabbi Akiva would say you need a limud in the pasuk to tell you that you don't from a Vala Shonaki that you're not paying Zmei Eved. Sakrad Chamina. Otherwise, you would think Hola Machmirani be Eved Yosim Ben Chorin. Because when it comes to an Eved, you have a greater chumra in a way of an Eved over a free person. Because Shah Ben Chodin, Yotha Selim, Noisin Selah, Shloshim, Noisin Shloshim. Because with a Ben Chodin, when the ox kills a person, then always if the ox is a Mord, when you're paying Koifer, it's always going to be the value of the person, no more, no less. You figure out how much they would have been worth as a slave or whatever, and then you pay according to that Dmei Nizek, or according to, we learned the other day, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Benoshav Yechon and Berkeley, you're paying Dmei Mazik. Whatever, but the point is, it's always going to be a sliding scale depending on the actual value of the person. As opposed to Eved, Yotha Sela, Nosin Shloshim. On the other hand, the Eved might be worth only one Sela, and you still have to pay 30, because that's what the Pasuk says. So now, it is true, Tosfos points out, you could have the other way around, where the Eved is worth more than 30 Shloshim, and therefore you're having a Kula. But nevertheless, the point is that you're saying that the fact is, even if the shur itself is not worth anything, then here we're talking about where the shur is not worth anything because you're giving skila, so therefore you would have reason to argue that since even when the eved is worth nothing or next to nothing, you're still paying the 30 the same way, even if the shur is worth nothing or next to nothing, you should still be paying it, and therefore the Torah needs to tell you otherwise. The Rashba points out a different reason. The Rashba points out, practically speaking, most avodim are worth less than 30 sloyim, so therefore more often than not, it's going to be a chum.
The Torah wouldn't
say 30. Because for whatever reason, because back then an Eved was regularly worth 30, and later on the average went down. Whatever the case, that's how it is. Yeah. So therefore, Mishtalim Nami Dmei Eved Min Haliyah. So you would think maybe then you're also paying Min Haliyah. Therefore, Kasu Rachmano Vala Shonaki. Therefore, no, the Torah is telling you Vala Shonaki that you're not paying Min Haliyah. You're paying only Migufay. When the animal is a tam, and since it's getting skiller, then therefore you're not paying anything. That's what we learn from Vala Shonaki.
then the guy goes.
So it is true that if he shechts it, it's true that if he shechts it, he's not paying, but that's not what the Torah is addressing. Saying there may be that point, but the Torah is not addressing a case like that.
If he has to be a goof, then he is a goof. Take the shechet and give it.
Nevertheless, we said that since it was done before Gmar Din, then we don't necessarily have to do that. But anyway. So the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei Nirova. So we learn a brisa like the way Rava says when it says Ubala Shor Nafi Rav Akiva Menoki Bidmei Eved. Now you would ask Baloi Dinhu, wouldn't you be able to learn this even without the pasuk Hoyo V'Chiyu BeEved V'Chiyu BeBen Chorin? After all, we find the Torah is Machayev a person to pay when his Shor killed an Eved, and the Torah is also being Machayev him when it killed a Ben Chorin. And just like by Ben Chorin, there's a distinction between Tam and Mu'ad as far as Kofer. The same way with an Eved, there should be a difference between Tam and Mu'ad, and say the Tam should be Potter from paying the 30, and the Eved and the Mu'ad would be Chayev. So why didn't the Pasuk of Allah show Noki to tell us otherwise?
The Kofer?
No, not the Kofer, the 30. The Kofer you're paying for a Ben Chorin. The 30 you're paying for an Eved. So the same way as a kofer, you're not paying a kofer for a tam. We said Rabbi Yisrael Aglili may hold that you pay chatzi kofer for a tam, but everybody else holds that not. So you would think. So Rabbi Akiva is saying here that you would think once you already have that you're not paying kofer for a tam, then automatically the same thing should be true as far as an eved by a mamatzinu. Furthermore, you can in fact make a kavachomer. Or ma ben chodin shenosin kol shavi. Ma'ad for the ben chodin where you're paying his full value for kofer. He locked up by tam and mu'ad, and you're still drawing a distinction between tam and mu'ad and pattering him from kofer for a tam. Eved she'ena noisin al shloshim. So then, by an eved where you're paying, only 30, and 30 may well be much less than the value of the Eved, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that we draw a distinction between tam and mor? So why do you need the word of Allah show noki to tell us that you're potter from 30 for an Eved when the animal is a tam? And the answer is lo. You know, the answer is back no. Machmirani be'eved yosim ben chorin. On the contrary, like Rav had said, we have a chumra in an eved more than a ben chorin. She ben chorin yofasela nosin sela shloshim nosin shloshim. Because a ben chorin, you're always paying exactly the value of the person, no more, no less. Eved yofasela nosin shloshim. Whereas by an eved, you're always paying 30. And again, if one's a Tosfos, the point is that means you're always paying 30, meaning there's always a payment, even if the shor is worth next to nothing. And if one's under the dash, but the point is, even though most of them are worth less than 30. So Yochol Yehechayev, given that you find that Chumra in an Eved over a Ben Chorin, you would think maybe in fact he would be Chayev in the 30, even if the animal is a Tam. Tam Alomo, Bala Shon Noki, Noki Min May Eved. Therefore, the Pasuk is saying that no, you're clean from having to pay the value of the Eved. So that bears out Rava's explanation. So the Bakiva's explanation is not based on the idea that you could have shechted it, and the Pasuk is telling us that even then you're potter from paying. And it's not because Rabbi Akiva holds that a tam always pays nezek shalom when it injured or killed a person, because the fact is Rabbi Akiva himself is saying you pay only migufoy. Rather, the braisa bears out what Rava is saying, the reason why, according to Rabbi Akiva, you need uval asher noki, is because there is a certain chumra in an eved, namely that an eved you're always paying 30, that an eved you're always paying 30, and there's a chumra in that. Tosfos points out over here now, when we had the discussion before between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer had used the Val Shon Noki to argue that the Torah is telling you to potter from Chatzit Kofer, evidently Rabbi Akiva did not agree with that answer of Rabbi Eliezer, that the Pasuk is coming to tell us that. He would say that you know it's potter from Chatzit Kofer anyway, for based on the logic that Rabbi Akiva had said, because anyway, the animal is being killed, and there's no Chatzit Kofer to take from it, so that's why he's saying over here that instead he's using this word of Allah Sharnaki for a different drasha, namely about the Eved. And then the point is, Tosfos says, anytime the animal is not chayiv skila, then of course you potter from kofer. So therefore, what does Rebbe Eliezer mean? That the Torah is telling you when it was al piyed echad, or when an attendant to kill a person or whatever, and it's not chayiv skila, then you're not paying kofer. Of course, if there's no skila, there's no kofer, says Rebbe Akiva. Therefore, I can't accept that answer of Rebbe Eliezer, that those are no skila, no kofer. So therefore, there's no reason to think what was Rebbe Eliezer saying? He was saying that even when there's no skila, the Torah has to tell you that still you're potter from paying kofer, because otherwise you would have thought the ox is available, pay kofer. Rabbi Akiva doesn't accept that logic. He says if there's no skill, there's no koifer. So therefore, automatically, we know that in the cases Rabbi Eliezer is talking about, you'd be potter from koifer. Therefore, he's not using Uvala Shonoki for Rabbi Eliezer's drasha, and therefore he uses it for his own drasha about the Eben.
And there's no koifer. Why is he doing any koifer?
So there's no koifer because so we said if the animal is a tam, then Rabbi Eliezer learned from Uvala Shonoki that it's potter. Rabbi Akiva argued it's anyway potter because there's nothing to pay from because of the Gufoy. And Rabbi Eliezer had told him, in a case where the animal is not getting skila, where therefore you would think that you pay Chatzi Kofer, then nevertheless the Torah is telling you that you don't. So now Tosfos says, Rabbi Akiva holds, there's no reason for that svara. There's no reason to even think that you should be paying Chatzi Kofer in that case, such that the Torah would need to negate that for you. Okay.